We're now on Sanhedrin Daf Tzayidaud Amud Aleph. The fifth wide line. The Gemara is going to talk about the fight between Chizkiyahu and Sanhedrin. The Gemara says, "Lo," he cites a pasuk in Yeshayahu, the Navi, from Perek Yud, pasuk Tzayin. L'chein shalach Adon Hashem tzvakos b'mishmanav razon. So, guess it means that Hashem's going to send b'mishmanav razon. We're trying to figure out what that is. B'may b'mishmanav razon. This is about Sanhedrin. So Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Yavo Chizkiyahu Sheish Lo Shmona Shemos V'Yiparim Min Sanhedrin Sheish Lo Shmona Shemos. So this razon is like anger, and mishmanav is the Gemara's understanding from the word shmona. So Chizkiyahu, who has eight names, will exact punishment from Sanhedrin, who has eight names. And the Marsha says mishmanav can't refer to as shamein, fat, because it can't be that all the soldiers of Chizkiyahu, all of Sanhedrin, all 185,000 who were defeated, it couldn't be that they were all shmeinim, it couldn't be that they were all fat. So I think it's when shmeinav refers to shmonav. The Gemara explains Chizkiyahu, d'chsiv, how do you know Chizkiyahu had eight names? Because Pazik says, ki yelod yulad lanu, bein nitan lanu. A child was born to us. Vatiya misra al shechmo, his sroah, his leadership was on his shoulder. Vayikra shmo, what was his name? Pelo, Yoetz, Kel, Gibor, Avi, Ad, Sar, Shalom. Eight names. Ah, Vahaika, Chizkiyahu. The Gemara says, well, wasn't there a ninth name, Chizkiyahu? He says, no. Shechizka ka. Saying that wasn't his real name. The other names, Pelo, Yoetz, Kel, Gibor, Avi, Ad, Sar, Shalom, those were his real names. Chizkiyahu was the name given to him because Hashem strengthened him to fight Sanhedrin. Davar acher, another explanation, Chizkiyahu, Shechizek Yisrael Avim Shivayim, that he strengthened Klal Yisrael to serve God, to serve their Father in heaven, as we will learn in the next Amud. Now, how do you know Sanhedrin had eight names? Sanhedrin Dixiv Be Tiglas Pileser, Pil Neeser, Shamaneser, Pul, Sargon, Esnapa Rabah V'Yakira. So we have eight names there as well. And the Gemara said, Va'ika Sanhedrin. Well, wasn't his name also Sanhedrin? Shouldn't there be nine? So no, that wasn't his real name. Shesicha So Riv, that he's called Sanhedrin because he sent Rav Shakei to fight with Chizkiyahu and so he's Sicha So. He sent, I guess, a quarreling, he sent a discussion, a Sicha. That was the sicha of machlokas, fighting. Davar acher, another expression, sesach v'nicher, devarim klape mala, that he spoke brazenly and blasphemy against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I think that the point here is, it's interesting, if you wouldn't read the Gemara, you would think the simple understanding is the name of Chizkiyahu, one name was Chizkiyahu, and the other person's name was Sanhedrin. But according to Chazal, those weren't even their real names, and they're called Chizkiyahu as someone who strengthens God, and Sanhedrin is someone who commits blasphemy against God. That Chazal portray this battle as a defender of God against a critic of God. Now we can understand why Chazal say that Chizkiyahu could have been Mashiach and Sanhedrin could have been Gog and Magog. But nevertheless, the Gemara continues and says, "Amar Rav Yochanan, says, 'Mipnei ma zocha oso Rasha likrosa esnapar Rabba v'Yakira.' Why is he called esnapar, the great and the glorious one? It seems to be a complimentary name of Sanhedrin." And the Gemara says, "When they shall osipir bignus shall al Yisrael, because he didn't speak in a negative way of Eretz Yisrael." Shenemar, as the pasuk says, that he tries to convince Klal Yisrael that they should submit to him and surrender and don't let knowledge to Chizkiyahu, and they will remain in their land. Ad boiv lakat yischem el eretz ke'artzachem, until I take you. He's saying Sanhedrin is saying this to the inhabitants of Yerushalayim, until I take you to a land that's just like your land. So this, apparently, he could have said that his land is better than the land of Eretz Yisrael, but no, he says that the land in Ashur that he wanted to take the people to was like Eretz Yisrael. So that was a little bit of a compliment. The Gemara has a debate here. Rav Shmuel, Chadamar Melch Pikecha, Yavachadamar Melch Tipesha. There's a debate as to whether he was a smart king or a foolish king. According to the opinion that he says Sennacherib was a smart king, that he didn't say that he was going to take them to a land that was better than Eretz Yisrael. If he would say to them that he will take them to a land better than theirs, Amru, the Bnei Yisrael will say, "Come is Shakras, you're lying, because there's no better land than Eretz Yisrael." So that's what he said. It's just as good. And according to the opinion that said he was a foolish king, that Imkain Maravu say, that they're going to say, what's the big deal to say, why would the Jewish, the Bnei Israel, the members of Malchai Yehuda, why would they want to leave to go to a land that's just as good as the land that they're in now? Maybe if it would be a better land, then they would leave. So that was foolish that he said that. Now, the Iyun Yaakov points out that this debate between Rav and Shmuel about whether a king was foolish or smart is also about Achashverosh. It's a debate whether Achashverosh is a smart king or a foolish king. And the Iyun Yaakov points out that the message of the Gemara, according to the Amora that says he was smart, wants to tell us that when the Bnei Israel follow the will of Hashem, even if the king is smart, he can't defeat the Bnei Israel. And the flip side is true also. According to the opinion, it says the king was foolish. It's to tell us that when Bnei Israel sinned, they will lose even to a foolish king. Then the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Lahecha Agle Lahu, where did Sennacherib exile the 10 tribes? Marzutra Marla Afriki, Marzutra says to Africa, and Rabbi Chanina Marla Hari Sluk, to the mountains of Sluk, of Yisrael, Sipu Bignusha Shal Yisrael. In contrast to Sennacherib, who spoke in a way that wasn't so derogatory towards Eretz Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael, or so the 10 tribes that were exiled, they did speak in a derogatory fashion. Kimatu Sos, when they reached a place called Sos, Army, they said, Shavia ki arid, this land is just as good as our land. Kimatu Olmin, when they reached the place called Olmin, Army, they said, Ki Olmin, they said, this place is just as good as Olmin, which is referring to Yerushalayim. How can a place be as good as Yerushalayim? That's like the best place. So that was even worse. And then Kimatu Sos Trey, when they got to places called Sos Trey, Army, they said, Alchad Trey, said, this land is twice as good as our land. And the Hagos Yavit says, he wants to point out that he says this can explain why they didn't return with the exile of Yehuda and Binyamin from Bavel. When Koresh said that they're allowed to return, they didn't return. Why? Because they were happy where they were. Now the Gemara is going to move and is going to move to the next part of the discussion of the battle, or not really the battle, there was no battle in the end, about the destruction of Sennacherib's army. And the Pasuk in Yeshaya says, V'sachas kavodo yekad yekod ki kodesh. And under his kavod, his honor, or its honor, there will be a fire, like the burning of fire. Rav Yochanan, tachas kavodo velo kavodo babash. It was under, what it said, it was under its glory, its honor, it was burnt. This is referring to the army of Sennacherib. It wasn't mamish. It wasn't actually under its honor, meaning the kavod of a person is his body. The glory of a person is his body. So Rabbi Yochanan says, don't think it means that under the person's body, under the army's body was burnt. Meaning, don't think that the neshamos were burnt. But here, when it says tachas kavodo yekad yekodesh, it means ki had Rav Yochanan karile lemane mechabdosai. It's like Rav Yochanan refers to his clothing as mechabdosai, what brings him honor. So therefore, when the pasuk says that under the soldiers kavod burnt, means under their clothing was burnt, meaning their clothing was not burnt when that malach, when the angel came and destroyed them. Their clothing was not burnt, but their bodies were burnt. And Rav Elazar, Amar Elazar disagrees, and he says, Tachas Kavod Mamish. No, that Kavod refers to the body, meaning the body wasn't burnt, but just means the neshamos were burnt. Kisrevas Ben Aaron, like the burning of the children of Aaron, none of Benavihu, who were killed. Malahal and Srevas Neshama, Vaguf Kayam, just like by none of Benavihu, the neshama was burnt and the body remained intact. Afkan, Shreifas, Neshama, Vigufakayama. So too here by the soldiers of Sancheirev, the Neshama was burnt and the body was alive. Their Neshama was burnt, but their body remained in existence. So you have this debate here as to were the soldiers' bodies burnt or were there just their Neshamas were burnt. A couple of points here. The Ein Eliyahu writes that the clothing didn't burn, according to everyone, to show there was a miracle. Because had their clothing been burnt, the Sancheirev would have thought that it wasn't a miracle. He thought that maybe the people of Yerushalayim dug tunnels underneath the city and arrived at the army in the dark of night and burnt them. So therefore, to demonstrate this was a miracle, only the bodies were burnt and not the clothing. But there is a debate whether the clothes burnt or whether only the body burnt or not even the body burnt. And the Fetar explains that according to Rav Elazar, their neshamos were burnt for what they wanted to do to Hashem. In other words, the portion of God, of Hashem, inside a person is the neshama. So therefore, they want mida keneged mida, measure for measure. They wanted to burn God, as it were. And so therefore, that's the part of our divinity is in our neshama. So therefore, their neshamos were burnt. According to Rav Yochanan, they thought God was physical. So they wanted to burn the physical body of God. So their bodies were burnt. The Be'er Sheva says that even though it seems from our Gemara that their burning was like the burning of Bnei Aaron, it was very different. By Navid Avihu, it's true that there was a fire that went inside their nostrils and they died, but their neshamos weren't burnt. It just means that their soul left their body. They died with their bodies remaining intact. And in fact, he points out that Moshe says, Bikrovai Ekadesh, that Moshe told Aaron, that Hashem told him, that with those who are holy to me, I'll be sanctified. And Moshe told Aaron that Hashem said that the Mishka would be sanctified with those that love Hashem. It's a big question of how to understand, not even a view, their mistake, did they really commit a horrific action, or some people had to die, and it's a long discussion, but there seems to indicate from this, from the Midrash and Vayikra Rabbah, that they weren't so bad, the fact that they were sanctified by God, they were killed. It's a little difficult to understand, but the point is, Moshe tries to comfort Aaron to say that they were greater, the Navi were greater than Moshe and Aaron, the fact that they actually died, and that way the Mishkan was sanctified. It's a difficult concept, but it simply means here that their soul departed from their body, as opposed to here, Be'er Sheva says, Sancheirev's army, their mamish neshama was burnt. I don't know if that means that they got kares or something, but their neshamas were destroyed. That's not what happened to Navi Neviyah, just their soul departed from their body. The Gemara now is going to compare Paro to Sancheirev. And the Gemara says, Tana Mishmei, the Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. With the Braisa, we learn the Braisa, the name of Yeshua ben Korcha, Paro Shechifer Ba'atzmo, Paro, who committed blasphemy against God himself, Nifra HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Medei Ba'atzmo, Hashem exactly punished by himself, not through a messenger. Sancheirev Shechirev, Aydei Shliach Ben Sancheirev, who committed blasphemy through a messenger, right? We see that he's going to send Rav Shakeh to commit blasphemy against Hashem. Nifra HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Medei Aydei Shliach, then Hashem exacted punishment through a Shaliach, through a Malach. So it was direct with Paro. The punishment was direct from Paro criticized him directly, and therefore he challenged God directly, therefore he was punished directly. And Sancheirev was challenged God through a messenger, therefore he was punished through a messenger. So actually, Machlokas re-showed him as to what's better, what's worse. Rashi says it's less disgraceful to be punished by God directly than through a messenger. You know, we know that we want a direct relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to ignore us. We want Hashem to just tell us that he's still there. But when he's punishing us, do we feel it's better that we're punished by Hashem directly or through a messenger? Through a messenger means Hashem doesn't care about us. So Rashi says it's better to be punished directly by Hashem than through a messenger. So therefore, Paro was better because he was punished directly. The Marsha says, no, it's worse to be punished by God because the sin was worse. You commit blasphemy against God directly. So you're punished by God directly, and then the punishment is greater if it's directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara, also the Sanhedrin Katana explains that there's a debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemia. Did Paro die or not? Did Paro survive Yamsuf? According to Rabbi Yehuda, from the pasuk Echad Mehem Lo Nosar, we say by in the paragraph before Shemoneh Esrei every day. No one survived. Paro didn't survive. Rav Nechemia says no, that it says in the Torah, Bavur Zos Hematicha, that because of this I kept you alive. Paro alone survived, just to show that, to show him about Hashem's power. That's the whole point, that the army died because of they enslaved the Bnei Yisrael, but Paro was kept alive, so you can see the downfall of Egypt. The miracles would force him to admit that Hashem is the true God. The Gemara continues, and the Gemara says that Paro, how do you know that Paro committed blasphemy himself? Because he said, "Mi Hashem Hashem Bekolo, who is Hashem that I should listen to His voice?" So Hashem exacted punishment by Himself. That Hashem Himself, you know, drowned the Bnei Israel, drowned the Egyptians in the sea. And the pasuk in Habakkuk, "Derachta b'yom susecha," that you did it yourself. You caused the horses to drown as well. Sen Cherev, Dichsiv Hayno, Sen Cherev committed blasphemy through a messenger, because the pasuk says, "Biad malachecha Cherev Hashem," that through your messengers you committed blasphemy against Hashem. That was Rav Shakei. Nifra Kadosh Baruch Hu b'med al deshliach. So Hashem exacted punishment through a messenger. Dichsiv, as the pasuk says, "Vietzim malach Hashem." The angel of Hashem went out. Vayach b'machane Ashur mea ushmonim v'chamisha elef. That he smote in that camp of Ashur 185,000 people. V'chini bar papi Rami. Kasiv Merom Kitzor Papi, Rav Chaim Bar Papi, he brings a contradiction between the Psukim. In Sefer Yeshaya it says that Sancheir said he's going to come to Merom Kitzo, and then Ichsiv Malon Kitzo. And in Malachim he says he's going to come to Malon Kitzo. So why in Yeshaya does it says that he's going to fight and he's going to challenge God in Merom Kitzo, and why by Malachim it's Malon Kitzo? So Amar also Rasha. So Sancheir said, first I'm going to destroy the home of Hashem down on earth, and afterwards I'm going to go up to Shemayim and defeat him. And that's actually the debate amongst the Mefarshim. Marom, according to Rashi, is the earthly dwelling, and Malon is the heavenly dwelling, and Marsha is the opposite view. Now, the Gemara is now going to turn to this attempt to overthrow Chizkiyahu and the attempt to appoint a king from Malchi Yisrael. I'm going to talk about Sancheir's failure against Chizkiyahu. The Gemara says the following. Rav Shub ben Levi, Shub ben Levi says, "My Dichsi, what does it mean when the pasuk says, Hami baladei Hashem alisi al makom zeh lahashchis ata, Hami baladei Hashem alisi al makom zeh lahashchiso, Hashem amar elai alei al haaretz zos vashchisa." That Rav Shakei said to the servants of Chizkiyahu, he says, now without Hashem, you think without Hashem I would go up to this place to destroy it? Hashem said to me, go up to this place and destroy it. What does this mean? What does this mean that Hashem told Rav Shakei or told Sancheirav to destroy Yerushalayim? Can't be. And so what happened? The Shama Le Navi. Then what happened? Yeah, he actually did. He heard from a Navi who's the Kamar that he said, and Yeshaya said the following, Yanki Mas Amazeh Esmei Shiloch HaHochim La'at U'mesoses Ritzin Ben Ramayo. So apparently Yeshaya said a pasuk, said a prophecy, that somehow this people despise the Mei Shiloach that are going slowly and rejoices with Ritzin and Ben Remalia. And therefore, based on this, the apostle is going to continue and saying, therefore, I'm going to bring about you a destruction. So what does this pasuk refer to? Amar Yosef, Yomai Targumi, the Haikra, Lova Yudana, my Kamar. Yosef said, if I didn't know the translation of this pasuk, the Aramaic translation, I would not know what it said. So there are different explanations as to what this means. The Be'er Sheva says Rav Yosef, since Rav Yosef, he engaged in Targum all the time because he was blind, so he couldn't and you weren't really allowed to say the psukim from Tanakh, Torah Shebiksav, Baal Peh, orally. So therefore, He knew the translation that he could say orally. However, this seems to go against Tosfos Bava Kamma, Daf Gimel Amud Beis, where he says that no, after we said Eisla Sos Hashem Befer Torah, that people couldn't deal with this, so then we were allowed to say Psukim by heart, and we're allowed to write down Torah Shebal Peh. But rather, it means that Rav Yosef was simply an expert in the Targum. So what is the Targum? How does the Targum translate this pasuk? Chalaf Dekatz Amah Hodem V'Malchuse the Beis David. That since this nation despise the Malchus Beis David, the Mendaber Lahon Binyach, Kimeshi Lucha de Nagdin Binyach. That the Malchus Beis David led them in pleasantly, like the Meshiloach, the Silwan River. It flows nicely, pleasantly. That's how the Malchei Beis David were. That's how Chizkiyo was. But what do they want? They wanted tough kings. The Jewish people, right, wanted to destroy Malchus Beis David and to get rid of Chizkiyah and to bring about a new king. Ritzin, the king of Aram, and Pekah ben Ramaliah. So the Gemara says, Amar B'yochad, by the way, when the Pasuk says, Meiras Hashem Beis Rasha Unevei Tzadikim Yivarach. There's a little bit of a side note here. The Pasuk says that the curse of Hashem is in a house of a wicked person, and the home, the dwelling of a righteous people will be blessed. Meiras Hashem Beis Rasha, the curse of God in the house of a Rasha, is that Pekah ben Ramayah. This refers to Pekah ben Ramahu, the king of Yisrael. Shaya Ocha, Arbaim Gsag, goes lost, Bekinuch Suda. He would eat 40 measures of pigeons for dessert. He would eat a lot. And he's cursed because he was never satisfied for what he ate. Because for him, this word was a bias. That's the way the Ein Elio said. The wicked people refer to this word as a host, as a house, as permanent. And therefore, they're going to just try to get as much pleasure as they can in this world. In the Veit Tzadikim Yivarach, but the dwelling of a righteous person is blessed. Chizkiyah would only eat a small measure of a vegetable in a meal, because for him, this world is only temporary. And therefore, he would minimize pleasures. So in any case, because of this prophecy, so Sennacherib thought that because the people were wicked, that he could, because they wanted to get rid of Chizkiyah and appoint Ritzin and Pekach as the leaders, so therefore they were given the right, maybe Asher was given the right to destroy them, because it was the pasuk continue, V'lachein hinei Hashem malah aleihem es mea nahar atumim arvim es melech Ashur. Hashem is going to bring about the strong river waters and the many, the king of Ashur. See, even the pasuk says, V'chalap Yehuda shataf avar ad savar yagia. It's going to destroy. It's going to destroy Eretz Yisrael. And this is then, it'll reach until his neck. And this is the source for the prophecy of Rav Shakeh. So if this was a prophecy, so why is Sancheira punished? There was a prophecy that they would be destroyed. So what's the reason why Sancheira was punished? He went with permission. So the Gemara answers, Navi Aser Sashvat Yusnabe. No, the prophet only prophesied against, it wasn't against the Malchi Yehuda, it was against Malchi Yisrael, that he would destroy their land. Iu Yav Dati Al Kula Yisrael, Yerushalayim. He thought that he was going to destroy all of Yerushalayim, so he made a mistake. Question is, why is Sancheirav punished for an honest mistake of reading the prophecy wrong? So maybe the point is, at the end of the day, he uses the prophecy for his own devices, to support him. Maybe the question is, do you work for God, or does God work for you? See, a good king would ask the Navi, you know, would try to figure out, what is the Navi saying? And he would try to be faithful to what the true prophecy. Sancheirav, perhaps, was someone who wanted to destroy all of Eretz Yisrael, conquer all of Eretz Yisrael, and he's using religion for his own benefit. So he finds a Nevuah and says, I'll fit that into my explanation. He's not trying to be faithful. He feels he's using religion to further his own political ends. And that's why he was punished.